The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And it's noon Central Time on this hump day where we are, and of course, in the Eastern Seaboard, it's 1 o'clock. Martha Zoller is a broadcaster, pundit, former candidate, current student. Wow. I figure once you're a broadcaster and you're a political pundit and a former candidate, you're past the point of being a student, but I guess we're all learning something these days. I mean, Martha's got a bio that it would take me at least the entire half hour to read. I mean, she's been everywhere, done everything, worked in the Brian Kemp campaign for governor, consults with people, chaired the Super PAC Georgia United Victory, does consulting with candidates across the spectrum. Martha Zoller, welcome to the show. You got your own show, too. You're a podcaster as well. My God, what don't you do?
Well, you know how it is in the broadcasting world. We've had to learn how to do everything to stay employed. So that's just the way it is.
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah, that's the radio business for you. Radio doesn't pay, but everybody wants to be there. And see, now in this day and age, and this is what's amazing, Martha, as involved as you are in what's going on in the political spectrum, I mean, you being in Georgia, I mean, you're in the thick of this thing with Fani Willis, and the fact that she just got the primary win, the fact that she hired a consultant to evaluate her media presence before she filed charges against Trump and all these other people. And I'm looking at this going, yeah, and now the spotlight is on Fani Willis, and she's going through her own little measure of scrutiny. What can you tell us about it at this point?
Yeah, it's very interesting because she just had a primary, which, of course, it was very low turnout, you know, kind of a sidebar, to use a legal term, of this whole situation. Yeah. Is what Democrats are really worried about in 2024 is a low turnout, and the primaries are showing that there is not a lot of enthusiasm for the candidates that the Democrats are putting forward. But Fani Willis did win her primary, which wasn't surprising. The story would have been if an incumbent was beaten, right? I mean, that's kind of the way it is. But she has a very strong candidate in the fall. Fulton County is an 80% Democratic county, so it would be a earth-shattering thing if she was kicked out of office. But I think the people of Fulton County just don't understand that she's allowed 14,000 felonies not to be indicted on her watch. Wow. They're sitting there in jail waiting to be tried, but yet she's spending millions of dollars of COVID money to try to try the former president. So this case is falling apart as we speak, and it will not come to trial before the end of the year. And I suspect what's left of it, now four people did plead guilty, but what's left of it is not going to go anywhere.
Well, see, and the thing that amazes me, Martha, is the people that pled guilty did not plead guilty to the RICO charge that she was bringing against the balance of the defendants out there, which makes me wonder whether or not these people should have just said, you know what, I'm just going to let this thing unfold the way it is. I'm not going to plead out. I don't understand, you know, because of the fact that, you know, we already knew that the Trump campaign was not going to take this sitting down, that they were going to fight back. And I don't understand why people just pled out so soon in the case, knowing what she was facing. But then again, there's so many variables in this two-tiered system of justice we seem to have. Scott McAfee, the state judge, he got reelected as well. So, I mean, there must be a contingent of voters out there that think that justice is going to be done, and they're going to be sorely disappointed, I feel.
Well, and I think Scott McAfee did as good a job as anybody could have done with the facts he was presented with. But the interesting thing about the people that pled out, and they have one commonality, they're all lawyers. And so they, I think, were most concerned about being disbarred in the long run and not being able to work, and that this was the quickest way to get them out of the legal system so that they could get back to work. And I really think there was that that personal financial motivation that was used against them, quite frankly. I'm sure that in the negotiations that were done with them, although I wasn't privy to them, that's the one commonality that these four people have.
Wow. See, and now you're also, I don't know if you knew this, folks, about Martha. She's a regular panelist on Fox 5, Atlanta's The Georgia Gang. She's in the thick of this. And so understand, she is not a rip and reader. I've been in that situation before, especially working in major market news, because I also am a journalist. But like yourself, you know, you have or had Z Politics, which was a Georgia-based political blog. You have a master's in political science. You understand politics and international affairs. I mean, this is the you look at the women's electoral process and how women are they changing their votes now to become more conservative, or they're more? I mean, in Georgia, it's kind of like a mixed bag down there that I don't understand. And I love having you on the show because you get to enlighten us all on the subject about the voter base and how they behave.
Well, for the last 30 years, there has been a band of women voters that are in mostly suburbia, but as Atlanta has grown, they call it the exurbs. So it's the counties that are immediately around Atlanta, and then the counties that are in the next ring around Atlanta. That we call those the suburbs and the exurbs. And those women have been back and forth for 30 years. I like to call them squishy Republican women, although that's not a technical term. But they tend to vote Republican, but they voted for Clinton in 96. They were soccer moms. They voted for Bush in 94. They were security moms then. They voted for Obama in 2012 because they had enough white guilt to do it. And then in 2016, they voted for Trump because they wanted a change. They didn't like Hillary Clinton. 2020, they voted for Biden. So, and you know, it's funny because I was talking to a group of women and this woman yelled out, "That's me." that I'm that woman that's doing what you said. But there is a lot of data to back that up. And that's why it's so important to understand, you know, women in electoral politics. Women tend to be perceived as being more liberal than their male counterparts. What that does is that helps you in a Democrat primary. You end up with people like AOC, and it hurts you in a Republican primary because you can never be conservative enough for a Republican primary. But once women get to that, you know, general election, they have just as good a chance to win as the men do. The biggest challenge is the primary.
Right. Well, and see, the thing is now you're telling me that it was such a low turnout in Fulton County as far as Fannie Willis goes. Everybody pretty much had their mind made up because people want to allegedly see justice being done, whether it's well-positioned or not. Everybody's looking at this, calling it the shift show, and they think it's all politically motivated, every single one of the trials, including the one that's going on right now, that the jury has just apparently gotten instructions from the judge, and now they're being sequestered. However, the judge prior to this let them all out for the whole week during Memorial Day, where they're exposed to the media, exposed to the public. And see, the thing that I had said in conversation with others, and I'll get your take on this because this is hugely important, besides Robert Delusional showing up at the last minute yesterday and making a speech and getting run off by Trumpers, I'm curious. The commentary I hear in the back channels is these jurors have to be freaking out because people will eventually find out who they are, and they could be facing retribution if they convict Trump. I know that the Georgia woman voter is going to the grocery store and the gas pump, and they're paying through the nose, and this has got to be weighing on their conscience. They can't take another 4 years of this crap. And so I got to look at this.
And I think it's... Yeah.
Go ahead.
they're gonna definitely vote their pocketbook. But as far as those jurors in New York, one thing I think they have in their favor is they're New Yorkers, because New Yorkers are, you know, you heard President Trump say the other day at the event he did in the Bronx, if a New Yorker can't fix this city, nobody can. And it's something that's really interesting to look at, because they've got, you know, I think, yes, there is some fear there, but I like to look at the bookmakers, you know, the people that are betting on this. There's a 75% chance, according to the Vegas bookmakers, that this will be a hung jury, that there'll be one juror out there, and that's a win for Trump if it's a hung jury. But I've also thought in the last 2 weeks, there has been this shift in the narrative where Trump's fundraising has gone up. He showed up in these very unusual places and had big crowds and diverse crowds. It's good for him, really, this trial, even though he said it was so cold in there. It was good that he was only coming out twice a day and being very controlled in the message that he was communicating. From a consultant standpoint, I loved that, because he was on message, he was talking about things, and then he did these very interesting events. And it has worked for him over there's been a shift, and now you're starting to see a lot more women of color saying, man, the system has just really been unfair to Donald Trump. I may not like the guy, but now he understands how we feel about how the justice system treats us. And it's a really interesting thing to watch. Now, I think there's better than a 50-50 chance there's no conviction here. And I didn't feel that way a few months ago. I felt like it was a done deal because of the way this judge was. But I think these jurors can stand up. And, yes, eventually people are going to find out who they are. But I think that won't deter them.
So you don't think that they're not blue enough to acquit? You think hung jury, because a hung jury, they can retry. And they could do it immediately because
they could,
like the media said, they've eliminated everything, you know, all the front stuff.
Yeah, but it still is very difficult to get on calendars. And I just think that what's ultimately going to happen is, you know, that we have, you know, maybe not. Some people think a conviction on one count. These are all made up crimes, though. Mm-hmm. And I really think that when MSNBC is saying that it's hard to define what this crime is, then you know there's not much case there. And when the main witness is a guy who admittedly lies and admitted to more crimes on the stand, then do you believe him? And I do believe in juries. You know, I really do. I think they ultimately do the right thing.
I would hope so, because a lot of people are hoping that this doesn't end up. I mean, I would love to see an acquittal, because all the media pundits out there, like Ty Cobb, that are getting in anywhere they can and saying, oh, yeah, they're going to find him guilty by Friday. It's like, dude, you do not have a clue of what this jury is thinking. And they've been exhausted through a 6-week ordeal. They've seen the objections. They've seen the badgering. They've seen the lies. They've heard the evidence. I don't know how many of them understand what jury nullification is. Because, I mean, if they haven't proven their case, and even CNN and all these other political pundits and lawyers out there are saying Bragg has not proven his case. And then by, you know, the fact that they understand that one of, you know, the DOJ's top lieutenants is up there working this case. I mean, it's like, boy, they brought in the big guns for this. Now, I don't have a good feeling about this. I can't be a part of history that puts a former president in jail. That makes us no better than a banana republic.
I mean,
and I really
not,
think, yeah. Go
yeah,
ahead.
He's not going to go into jail. I don't think he's going to go into jail. And I do think that this has really backfired. I mean, you mentioned Robert De Niro, and that was a Biden campaign event. And supposedly Biden's going to make a speech. You know, they think he did so well on the State of the Union, you know, that he got a bounce, which I thought it was terrible. And he, you know, and he's going to give a speech regardless of whether he's convicted or not. I just think they're making lots of mistakes. And you know, Donald Trump's going to be fine in the long run. But again, you know, I understand your trepidation about this case. And really, if you look at the data, he should get convicted because of who this jury is. But it just feels like the tide has been changing, that it's moving a little bit more towards Trump and the unfairness of it.
Well, and I think a lot of people have realized that if they can come after him like this, they could come after anybody. But the thing is that Bragg, of course, is dropping the ball and prosecuting everybody else. I mean, that's a bigger problem. Yeah. He's not prosecuting the criminals. And everybody in New York City sees this. It's like, hey, why aren't these people still in jail? They just assaulted somebody. They just raped somebody. They just murdered somebody. And they just let him out. What is going on here? And now they're just prosecuting Trump. I think the people that were on that jury, that still are serving on that jury, this week that they were let out, I'll bet you they had a change of heart and they've been pummeled with all sorts of questions. Even though they can't talk about the case, I really think they've had a chance to sit and think about the consequences of convicting a former president.
Yeah, and I do think that you're starting to see, whether it's in New York where they're not prosecuting crimes, I mentioned the 14,000 felonies that haven't been indicted in Fulton County. That impacts, my daughter lives in Fulton County. I'm terrified all the time when she's out and about. And she's so funny when she comes up to visit us. I live about an hour north of Atlanta. She's like, Mom, you don't lock your car? You don't clear everything out of your car everywhere you go? I said, no, I don't, because I don't live in Atlanta where they don't prosecute crime. They prosecute crime where I live. So it's funny.
Yeah, I get that. And so the thing is with the with the situation the way it is, and now they're apparently CNN. This is just, you know, what I think about this upcoming debate. I'm just laughing because, you know, and I actually posted on Truth Social telling President Trump, look, please don't start talking about all the stuff you're going to do if you get elected, especially when it comes to these students that are protesting right now. The less said, the better. Biden is already hanging himself. And the thing is about these debates, you cannot conduct yourself in front of Jake Tapper and CNN the same way you conducted yourself when Hillary was on stage and you were debating her. You can't just sit there because they're going to shut off your mic. And by you sitting there babbling and shaking your head and making all these motions, if Biden can't string two sentences together, just let him talk. He's going to hang himself.
Let him do that. That's
yeah.
Right. That's right.
That's my thought process here. The less he says, the better.
I agree 100%. And, you know, it's funny, you mentioned Jake Tapper. And all over the Memorial Day weekend, Jake Tapper posted pictures and stories of fallen soldiers, including the 13 that died at Abbey Gate in Afghanistan. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, I follow this feed on Twitter called Remember the Fallen, where they, you know, I always tell people, if you fall, don't follow anything else, follow this, because it'll give you some humility about the sacrifices that were made for you. But I was like, okay, so Jake Tapper has got a soul, so hopefully he'll do a really good job.
Well, I'm hoping he does. But again, you know, with the State of the Union, you brought that up. And I really believe that Biden was hopped up on Adderall or something, because all the man could do was yell. I mean, literally the tone of his voice and everything.
Yeah.
And then MTG challenged him.
Let him speak.
Yeah.
Let him speak. And the more he speaks, the more he's going to scare people.
And that's, I think, what he's done. Now, the thing is with MTG, how do people, given what's going on in Congress right now, and the fact that she's been swatted a couple of times, I mean, how are they reacting to her being his arch rival or arch nemesis right now in Congress? Did they love
her? She is in a very safe district. So she's going to be fine. She will have a well-funded Democratic opponent, but that's okay. We like it when they spend money in Georgia. It's good, you know. You know what I mean? If they want to spend their money, I'm good with that, because it's good for us as a media market. But you know what I really wish Marjorie Taylor Greene would talk more about is that she is a generational construction business. She has made it in a man's world in the construction business, and I think it was her father's business. She's helped to run it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how involved she is now, but she has some great stories about that. And I've told her when I talked to her that, you know, I wish you'd talk more about that side of your life. I know you want to get involved in all these issues, and she is a great communicator of conservative issues. But I think that she could win some people over that maybe wouldn't think they'd be a Marjorie Taylor Greene fan if she talked more about her business side.
I would agree. The other thing that really bothers me is some of the tit for tat that's going on in Congress that ends up on YouTube and C-SPAN, and these people arguing over just the most ridiculous things. It's like, look, don't you folks have anything better to talk about? I mean, they're attacking each other. Yeah. Oh, God, it's like, man, we're paying you people to do
done.
What?
Just oh, get my the God. Work done. You know, I mean, it really was a sad day when they put air conditioning in the Capitol, because they used to have to go home between June and September. And now they are there all the time, making our lives difficult.
Well, and I think a lot of Americans are figuring that out. I mean, I know you have. And so, I mean, the crux, I'm going to take some phone calls, folks. 844-769-2944. Press 1 when you get to the prompts. And you want to ask Martha Zoller. I mean, she's got her own show. And, I mean, the thing is that she is plugged into the political narrative here. She knows what's going on. If you've got questions, she's probably one of the pundits you want to talk to. And the fact is that a lot of what we're talking about, yes, it is news headlines. Yes, it's heavily saturated. Yes, we have a controlled news cycle. Yes, the mainstream media continues to pollute it with all sorts of misrepresentations. You see this, it still goes on. I mean, things have changed since back in the 60s and the 70s. Back in the 70s, when I started doing radio news, we didn't have half the problem that we do now. The change in the landscape, what's your take?
Well, I think, look, I'm a capitalist, and I think it's great when people make money. But probably if you trace the news business to when it started being a profit center versus being a public service, you know, CBS News is news that used to not have to make money. And then 60 Minutes came along, and it started making a lot of money. I think we paid a high price for profit-driven news, because what it did was we got rid of the people that were subject matter experts, and we got a bunch of 28-year-olds that don't know anything about what they're talking about, and their perspective is as long as their life is. And I think it's hurt the news business. Then, you know, you've got social media to where it's more important you get clicked on than if you're accurate, and that creates a problem too. That's why I think what we do in radio is so important, because we still have that intimate and personal connection with our listeners. And in our case, I work for a family-owned radio station that still does 24-hour news. We staff our newsroom 24/7. And, you know, we still do it the old-fashioned way. But it took the fact we were owned by a family that would invest when times were difficult in order to keep it going when times were good. That doesn't happen with the mainstream media anymore.
And I got to bring this up since you mentioned it. I have noticed, because I subscribe to Radio World, I follow the FCC, all of these things that are going on right now with community radio, and they just let loose of a bunch of LPFMs, and they're screening for that. I'm curious. I am noticing, because I get Dealmaker and a lot of other things, a lot of these major media outlets are starting to dump their radio stations. And the other thing that bothers me about George Soros is he is buying up a bunch of these things. Odyssey Media, I mean, all of this stuff. Soros just bought Vice Media. I mean, what do you think he's going to do with it?
Well, I think they're going to do what they've always tried to do, which is create a liberal, a liberal kind of radio network. But I'll quote my old friend Alan Colmes, who passed away a number of years ago from a heart attack, and he was actually one of the few people in liberal radio that made any money. He said, "Martha, we don't have a sense of humor, and when you're bashing capitalists, it's capitalism, it's hard to get sponsors." So they're going to try to have a liberal, you know, some kind of a liberal news network, but it's not successful. You know, they don't make money at it. I mean, MSNBC still doesn't make money. They just have a lot of money behind them.
Mm-hmm. I get that. And see, the thing is I don't know, people, if you know anything about the news business or not, but the news format per se, because I've worked for all news talk radio stations before, news is the most expensive format in radio to produce. And I know Martha agrees with me on that because you've been there.
Yeah, absolutely. It is the most expensive because you've got to have people doing it. You know, music. It's voice track now, which a lot of people may not know what that is, but you don't have to have somebody live in the studio all day long. Or you take syndicated programming, which doesn't cost you much at all. It's just a barter kind of situation.
Correct. And see, people, if you don't know the way that radio is constructed these days and understand that, you know, when you look at the news cycle per se, when you have people manipulating what's going on in the news cycle, and this has been a big bone of contention, Martha, with a lot of our listeners, is they think that the CIA, especially with the lockdowns and allowing Fauci and the rest of them to come in there and lie to Trump and tell him all these things that we got to lock it down, we got to stop the spread, 6 feet social distancing, and now, you know, the scarf ladies told us that, I just made it up. And I'm like, okay, how are we supposed to, we can't trust government anymore. Are you getting that sense?
Oh, yeah. And really, COVID was a perfect storm of, you know, the bad information. But also, the former president is kind of a germaphobe. You know, and it was the perfect storm of them going in there and telling him, if you do nothing, 2.5 million people will be dead by August. So he did what they asked him to do. But by August, 165,000 people had died. Now, that's terrible for the 165,000, but clearly we knew by August of 2020 that we didn't have the same kind of problem that we thought we had in March. And thank goodness I live in the free state of Georgia, where we opened back up on April 26th. We didn't stay closed but just a few weeks, and we had school, and our kids didn't stay home, and we were in, you know, we just functioned as if, you know, we were, nothing was going on. I mean, you do things that make sense. You protect your elderly, you know, because they were at high risk if they got COVID. But most of the things we did were wrong.
Well, and they took advantage of us. The mainstream media helped promote the divisiveness that we face right now in America. And I think that's the biggest problem right now, is bringing people together on a common ground. You having a master's in political science, where do you see this going?
Yeah, well, we've been in cycles like this before where we've been divided, but we haven't had the social media, which is like the gasoline that throws, you know, throws it on fire. And so, you know, I think we're at the end of this cycle. I think that this election will be kind of like, it'll be the final one for baby boomers. And I mean, heck, they're not even baby boomers. They're a little older than baby boomers. And they're going to have to, both parties are going to have to move on to, you know, as John Kennedy said, a new generation of people. And I think that's what's ultimately going to happen. I mean, I'm always optimistic because I'm a Christian and I know what's going to happen. I know how the book ends. So I'm not worried about it. I'm always optimistic about what America will finally do when they need to. So from that standpoint, I think after this election, I think we're going to go through, I think Trump's going to win. I think he's going to be able to do what he does for 4 years. It'll be very important who he picks as his vice president, because basically that person is going to be running for president from the minute he takes office again, and it needs to be somebody that can unite people.
Any ideas to who that might be, just from your perspective?
Well, I tell you, I mean, the conventional wisdom would be a Nikki Haley to unite the party, but I don't think that's going to happen. So no. I think that it could be somebody like I love the idea of Joni Ernst, because she's a full bird colonel. She was a National Guard. She's tough. She understands national security. But I think it could be Tim Scott.
Wow. Okay. Martha Zoller, thanks so much. We appreciate you being on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll have you back, too, the closer we get to election time. We'll be back after these important messages with former Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert. Stay with us.
Direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let you know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Why invest in all the great natural supplements from the Power Mall and then use a toothpaste loaded with harmful synthetic chemicals like fluoride? You want really healthy checkups, right? People who switch to Vitamair toothpaste and mouthwash are reporting healthy-looking gums and whiter teeth. Both the Vitamair toothpaste and mouthwash are formulated with natural products like zinc, folic acid, cloves, and myrrh. It's nature's answer to preventing plaque, reducing the development of cavities, and promoting healthy teeth and gums. Vitamair toothpaste comes in original formula and also with CoQ10 and xylitol, as well as in a great-tasting orange-flavored children's formula, too. Get Vitamair toothpaste and mouthwash from the Power Mall today, and you, too, can have healthy checkups. Call 877-817-9829. Or order from thepowermall.com.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
After the hour of 12 noon Central Time here on this hump day edition of the Power Hour, Dave Krieger with you. Thank you so much for joining us. As I mentioned before the break, former Texas Congressman Louis Gohmert. He has a website called Gohmert.com, G-O-H-M-E-R-T.com. Louis Gohmert, thank you first off for your service. And, you know, we know you're a fighter. You're a very distinguished American attorney, seasoned politician, former judge. You're not the career politician that's in the White House right now. You actually have a whole hell of a lot more common sense than this joker does. When's the last time you were back in Camp County?
Well, actually, just a few days ago. I grew up in Titus County, immediately north of there. How do you know Camp County?
Well, I've been in Texas a long time, and I've supported the Texit movement. So I've been watching all this come down, and I'm just like, we're trying. But Anyway, so, you know, I've been watching and following what you've been doing, and I know that you're a maverick. I know that you fought for a lot of good things as far as the values of the Republican Party. The thing is also you've been involved in the Tea Party movement as well, and you still continue, even though you have gotten out of the rat race, the Beltway, you still are monitoring what's going on there.
Yeah, and not just that, but I'm still traveling around the country speaking from coast to coast and north to south, and I feel like a bit like perhaps Paul Revere trying to wake people up. We're this little republic is in huge danger, and it's a very dangerous time for America. But people got to wake up. This is such a critical year. I think the most critical year in the last 100.
That makes all the sense in the world. I mean, and you've obviously talked to Mark Levin. He's got the book out on the Marxist issues.
Yep.
Marxism. I mean, yeah, we're really worried about that.
Friends.
I know you have.
Absolutely.
That's one of the reasons I brought it up. How far off do you think his predictions are? I mean, do you agree with all the predictions in his book?
I'm not sure. I think I'm not one for making predictions, but I see the choices, and we're headed for really an Orwellian-type government. We're already well on our way there since the DOJ, including the FBI, have been so weaponized, politically weaponized. The State Department has been for years. A lot of people don't realize the DOD has been weaponized, the Department of Defense. Our intel apparatus, there's some great intel agents. I've got friends that have been, but it's so weaponized. I'm afraid if Republicans don't win this presidential election, get back to majorities, then we may not be able to stop the takeover that's been occurring.
Yeah, that's pretty scary. The Democrat Party, and I posted that, you know, to President Trump on Truth Social, he really needs to be careful with who he condemns and what he threatens to do if elected. People just, you know, this stuff needs to stay on the back burner until he gets in there. I mean, the thing that bothers me the most, I understand what these college campuses are doing and what's going on there. That's technically their responsibility to fix and clean up, not his. Now, as far as the deportation of all these illegals, I think everybody's behind him on that. I think we all know it.
Yeah.
And this is part of a problem, isn't it? They're trying to multiculturalize us.
Well, it's actually worse than that. They're trying to create as much chaos as possible. And, you know, Peter Schweitzer book, he points out that the Chinese Communist Party has been supportive of some of these groups that have been dumbing down our morality and convincing people there's no right and wrong. It's all relative. They've been participating in trying to destroy our inner strength. And we've seen that diminish. But I think that we are at a place where we can still stop. We can just turn back from the cliff and go down the great, wonderful, blessed road that we've been on for so long. But I'm sure you noticed Gallup polling in 2021 said for the first time since they've been doing polling, and I would say in our whole history, more than half of Americans have no relationship with any place of worship. That tells you a lot about the degradation of our moral fiber within the country. And like John Adams said, this Constitution was intended for a moral and religious people. It was wholly inadequate for the governing of any other. And that's what the Chinese Communist Party, that's what Iran, that's what so many, I mean, for heaven's sake, we've got radical Islamists that are out there in the streets, you know, creating chaos for gay rights and LGBTQ, and they know good and well in the country of their favorite country or country of origin, they kill people for engaging in those activities, yet they're willing to do it here in order to degenerate our moral authority.
Well, to me, the whole idea is to break up the family unit.
Yeah, well, that has been central. And actually, David, you got to go back to the war on poverty. What did we really accomplish? Well, I know that most of the people that voted for that bill, the intention was to help people that needed help. But what we did was reward women that were raising children by themselves, rewarding single-parent homes, and punishing those financially that had two parents in the home. So after all these years, going back to the mid-60s, you actually get what you pay for. And we paid for wanting single-parent homes, and guess where we are? We have done that to ourselves. And it's one of the great tragedies in America. You can't find it on BLM's their website now, but I got a shot of it before. One of their big tenets was they want the destruction of Western style marriage. Now that made me go, are these people that stupid? We don't have Western-style marriage, or we didn't in America till the Supreme Court weighed in. What we had was what Moses said marriage was. He said it came from God, that a man shall leave his father and mother, woman leave her home, and two become one. And when Jesus was asked about marriage and divorce, he quoted Moses verbatim, man shall leave his father, mother, woman, leave her home, etc. But he added the line, and what God has joined together, let no one separate. So this isn't what we had in America for nearly all of our history has not been Western-style marriage. It's been Middle Eastern-style marriage, and it has served civilizations extremely well. And we see what happens when we degrade the value of a two-parent home.
Well, and see, even Larry Elder brought up that 72% of kids don't have a dad in families because of what happened with the Civil Rights Movement and Lyndon Johnson. But, of course, that was a Democratic administration. He followed right in the footsteps of JFK, not per se, but, you know, with the Civil Rights Act. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, Congressman Gohmert, is that this basically has torn down the structure of the family unit in America by making women rely on the government rather than relying on God. And that's been our biggest problem here, especially when they came out with this, what they called a vaccine that was nothing more than genetic modification of our DNA. And China probably is right in the center of this thing. And we act like it's no big deal, except if you're the one getting the vaccine, which I don't even call it that anymore. I don't want to. What's your take on all this?
I was amazed and knew that we were dealing with very dishonest people when they began to say, oh, the vaccine is so much better than your own antibodies that develop from having the disease. I'm going, wait a minute. Now, if there's anything we learned, it is that you want to fight off a specific disease, having the antibodies that successfully fought it off is about as good as you can get. So that's what really made me go, this Fauci is not an honest person. They're just all about selling vaccines, it appears. So, but all of it comes from making people think they need to be totally reliant on the government. And, you know, as Reagan said, you know, the government is not the solution. The government is the problem. You do need government in order to make sure people play fairly. But when you have a government that's not only the coach, but also the referee and the player, then it becomes much too dangerous, much too Orwellian, and you end up with what we got, where government spies on its people, and even people in Congress, a majority don't seem to be bothered too much by that.
That bothers me more than anything else is the fact surveillance state keeps increasing, and they set up fusion centers all over the place. I mean, we're watching this unfold, and now they're letting all these millions of illegal immigrants in there. And the theory behind it, I believe, was to convert all these people into voters to keep Biden in office. This is a danger to the American system.
The theory actually had a massive piece of evidence demonstrated last week when every single Democrat voted to include all of the millions and millions of illegal aliens that have come in as part of the census part that would determine which states got how many representatives. Because California and New York have been losing representation because people have been leaving because of their blue state Marxist leanings. And so this is their way of not only eventually getting those people to vote, to keep the people in place that allowed them to come in and gave them free cash cards and all that, but it also gives them greater representation in the blue states if they get to count all the... That's what sanctuary cities were about. It was about bringing more people in that they could count to give them greater representation so that they could dictate their Marxist agenda. Not everybody that participated in pushing that realized that. They thought, oh, we're just being so compassionate by wanting to welcome people illegally. And I tell you what, Dave, the most compassionate thing we could do for people in Mexico and Central America, we could secure our borders, because the only reason Mexico, I think, is not a top 10 economy in the world, when they've got hardworking people, they got incredible natural resources, better location than the United States, because they're not just between two oceans, they're between two continents and two oceans. The one thing that's held them back is the corruption. And who's funding the corruption? The open border is allowing America to fund their corruption. So if we really cared a whit about the people south of our border, we would secure that border. We would cut the drug cartels' money to a just tiny trickle. And we could do that. You probably never get rid of it completely, but at least cut it to a trickle so they can't own their federal government, their local governments, and pay people to kill police that stand up to them. That's the compassionate thing to do, secure the border.
It would be, and we still have the flow of drugs and fentanyl and whatnot coming into the country, and China is directly tied to it, which is another problem. But this... The thing about the Chicago Democratic Convention, I can't help. Every time I think about that, I go back to 1968 when everybody's outside chanting, "The whole world is watching." And I'm like, oh, my God, are we going to have a repeat? Is history going to repeat itself?
Yeah, well, I think it looks like it is. And, you know, David Horowitz is a friend. I'm senior fellow with David Horowitz Freedom Center now. And I introduced David to somebody years ago and said, and he was a former socialist, and he said, "Louis, I was a full-bore commie. My mother was a commie. I was a commie." He really was. He was into it deep. He was one of the communist leaders with Tom Hayden and others that were planning these riots and disruptions, including the 68 convention. Now, he boycotted because of some differences, but I'd ask him, okay, I understand, as you say, your slogan, the Marxist slogan is the worse the better. The more chaos you can create, the better. But Humphrey was much more liberal than Nixon. Why wouldn't you go after the Republican convention in 68 instead of the Democrat? He said, because the worse, the better. And we figured, we were mad at Humphrey because he did support the war in Vietnam to a certain extent. But we're afraid also if he got elected president, it would be a lot harder to get young people out in the streets rioting so we can finally have a revolution. And we figure if Nixon got elected, then we'd have a lot better shot. Well, now, Dave, you've got Democrats are going, wait a minute, they're protesting at our convention? Why? We're the ones that got them where they are. Yeah, and they appreciate your being the lackeys that did that for them. But just as many Jewish voters are now seeing, gee, all these Democrat causes you supported, universities you supported, now they've turned anti-Semitic, and they do turn on the people that get them where they're going until they get the full revolution they want. So I think we're going to see violence ahead. I hope and pray that we can keep it to a minimum. But that slogan that the communists used when David Horowitz was part of it, the worse the better, that's what they're gearing for.
Well, and the thing is the Democratic Party has not helped the Democrat Party. They keep using the term democracy, which we don't tolerate on this show. We're a constitutional republic. I mean, I can't every time Tucker Carlson even opens his mouth and says democracy, I cringe. And see, you were a judge in Texas. Mm-hmm. So you understand from being a judge how you have to know the rule of law and what the legal system is doing right now mm-hmm. with lawfare. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is lawfare. They've weaponized this.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
It would be fair to say that you being a judge before and understanding how the system works, especially in the state of Texas, where, you know, we have a lot of political infighting and whatnot. Lawfare and the DOJ right now and what they're doing to Trump, this cannot be a good outcome for the Democrat Party this year.
Well, it shouldn't be, but they're, you know, Merrick Garland, it seemed to be made fairly clear his whole goal was to have such shock and awe that it intimidated conservatives from ever coming out and protesting again, no matter how peacefully. We want to keep them home. That man is a bitter shell of the man that he once was, that was so highly revered. Thought potential for the Supreme Court, but he has shown his true colors down below, and I think he's very, very close to having his turn to the dark side, like Darth Vader, completed, which will mean a total abdication of the things that he lived for, worked for most of his life until he became a bitter Democrat.
Now, do you think, and it's a good thing he's not on the Supreme Court, thank God for small things.
Yeah, isn't that true? Yeah.
I just ask, and see, you being a former congressman and seeing what's going on here, do we as Republicans or people who are conservative, let's just get away from the uniparty here for a second and just talk about the conservative values like what you have. Do you believe, and I talk to so many people, congressmen, that say they're just, you know, they're stockpiling food, guns, and ammunition. Is there a unique reason behind this? Why everybody is getting the way they're getting over the system and the way it is these days? I mean, are they paranoid or is this serious? I mean, do we need to take that attitude?
Well, the people you're talking about may be paranoid, but they've got a good reason to be. You know, the old saying, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean people aren't really out to get you. These people really do want to take over control of everybody's lives. Obamacare took a huge step in that direction. And then we've seen with the spying on Americans that is now considered okay. I really thought we'd have more Democrats that stood with the Republicans on these civil rights issues and privacy, but they were lured to the dark side of more power. Yeah, it's okay as long as they're spying on Republicans. So, yeah, there's a reason to be concerned, but we still can't give up. Peacefully protesting, making our voices heard, being out there. I mean, for heaven's sake, in Egypt, reportedly 30 million of their 90 million people went to the streets peacefully. peacefully. Muslim Brothers engaged in violence and tried to make it look like it was protesters. But they said, we don't want a caliphate here. We don't want another Iran in Egypt. And they changed the future of the country by doing so. Even though John McCain and Lindsey Graham flew over and said, no, I'll put the Muslim Brothers back in charge. And he was destroying the Constitution, and people didn't want it. People have got to have that much concern as they did in Egypt. I've been there, spoken to their leaders numerous times, and I'm grateful. If they hadn't stood up like that, people that wanted an Ottoman Empire to surround the Mediterranean and then eventually the U.S., that would have happened. People have got to stand up, and that's the bottom line, Dave.
It is. I appreciate that. Former Congressman Louie Gohmert from Texas, 1st Congressional District. You keep doing what you're doing, sir, because we're all behind you. You can follow Louie Gohmert on X. He's there. Sign up. Gohmert.com, the website. I think he stands a lot for what we believe in, and I guarantee you he doesn't have all this baggage they're holding over all the rest of Congress. Congressman Gohmert, thank you so much. God bless you for the work you're doing.
Thanks so much, Dad.
And we'll have you back on again, of course. Hey, it's that time again, folks. Thursday edition coming up tomorrow. In the meantime, keep your fingers crossed and pray for President Trump. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like